ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। वी रीडिंग फ्रॉम श्रीमद् भागवतम कैंटो 10 चैप्टर 5 टेक्स्ट नंबर 15 एंड 16। दिस चैप्टर इज एंटाइटल्ड एज द मीटिंग ऑफ नंद महाराज एंड वसुदेव। नंदो मनस्तेभ्यो वासोलंकारो गोधना सूतमागदवन्दिभ्यो यन्ने विद्योपजीवनः नैतै। विथ ट्रांसलेशन एंड पर्पोर्ट बाय हिज डिवाइन ग्रेस एसी भक्ति वेदांत स्वामी श्रील प्रभुपाद। The great-minded Maharaj Nanda gave clothing, ornaments, and cows in charity to the cowherd men in order to please Lord Vishnu. And thus he improved the condition of his own son in all respects. He distributed charity to the sutas, the maghadas, the vandis, and men of all other professions, according to their educational qualifications, and satisfied everyone's desires. Purport. Although it has become fashionable to speak of Daridra Narayan, the words Vishnu Arha Dhanarthaya do not mean that all the people satisfied by Nanda Maharaj in this great ceremony were Vishnus. They were not Daridra, nor were they Narayan. Rather, they were devotees of Narayan, and by their educational qualification, they would satisfy Narayan. Therefore, satisfying them was an indirect way of satisfying Lord Vishnu. Mad Bhakta Puja Abhyadikha, Bhagavatam 11th Canto. 19th chapter, 21st verse. The Lord says, worshipping my devotee is better than worshipping me directly. The Varnashram system is entirely meant for Vishnu Arhadana, worship of Lord Vishnu. Varnashrama Charvita Purushena Parhapuman Vishnu Aradhyate Vishnu Puran. The ultimate goal of life is to please Lord Vishnu, the Supreme Lord. The uncivilized man or materialistic person, however, does not know this aim of life. Nate viduhu swartha gatim hi Vishnu. One's real self-interest lies in satisfying Lord Vishnu. Not satisfying Lord Vishnu, but instead attempting to become happy through material adjustments, bahirartha manina, is the wrong way for happiness. Because Vishnu is the root of everything. If Vishnu is pleased, everyone is pleased. In particular, one's children and family members become happy in all respects. Nanda Maharaj wanted to see his newborn child happy. That was his purpose. Therefore, he wanted to satisfy Lord Vishnu. And to satisfy Lord Vishnu, it was necessary to satisfy his devotees, such as the learned Brahmanas, Maghadas, and Sutas. Thus, in a roundabout way, ultimately it was Lord Vishnu who was to be satisfied. Krishna. So, in this part of the Srimad Bhagavatam, wherein Nanda Maharaj is going to meet Vasudev, Srila Prabhupada is bringing the Vedic culture, giving the picture of the Vedic culture, how things would function in the time of the culture which was actually being practiced in its originality. Unfortunately, in present age, we don't get to see it. When we simply philosophically or theoretically read them, it doesn't sink in because we are practicing something else. Or we have seen something else of what has happened to the Vedic culture. As Prabhupada explains, if you go to village, in fact, nobody wants to stay in the village. Why? Because village means poverty condition. But the description of village in Vrindavan, you know, who can imagine that you're throwing cow's milk? If any child throws milk on the ground, he'll be chastised. I remember many years back in our ashram, we had one South American devotee and he dropped the milk entire, you know, his glass and plus few other glasses, he dropped it. And in those times, the ashram floor was not very clean. And our president became very angry with him. He said, what is this, you're wasting Krishna's milk? So he started bending down and started licking the every part of milk. But here we see that throwing milk, butter everywhere, it is not considered as waste, rather it is part of celebration. Like I remember, we went to one village, maybe a year back. And then, like if you go to Crawford Market is the place where you buy fruits. our Tulsi Prabhu goes and bargains to get cheap fruits. So then if you go to Crawford Market, they don't want to give you charity because they know every fruit cost. When we used to go for Harinam many years back, I got to know first time there is something other than Harinam which is called a Sabji Harinam. Sabji Harinam means, you know, few devotees would do Harinam and then 2-3 devotees, especially if you are a younger devotee, you have to hold a bag. So when I came first, on the very Tuesday, you know, they made me hold this big gunny bag with another devotee. And you go to this huge sabji market. And usually they give sabji market what is left over, which is not sellable, so that you can bring it to the temple and use it. One time they give huge gunny bag of brinjal. The entire courtyard was filled with brinjal. Then our president became very angry with our Food for Life in charge. What is this? Then we took it to Dharavi Jhopapati to do Harinam because it was burdening us also. But if you go to the village, if you go to this mango groves, because thousands of mango trees are there and every mango tree has thousands of mangoes, a farmer does not hesitate. He doesn't calculate. If I give this mango in charity, I'll lose few rupees. In fact, this farmer was saying, he said, I don't want all of you to eat full mango. Aadha khao aur aadha phek do. Pura khane se mera insult hoga. If you eat the full mango, he said, don't do like that. Eat little bit and throw and take next one. So that you can enjoy different kinds of mangoes. You can have more flavors. Why? Because if there is opulence, then it does not create anxiety. Therefore, Varnashram system and Krishna Prem. Varnashram is not a philosophy. Unfortunately, people are trying to make Varnashram into a philosophy. It is not a philosophy. It's like a road for achieving our destination. Bridges or roads are made not to stay on the road or not to stay on the bridge, but they are simply a way to approach our destination. They are complementing our destination. There is no conflict between the road and the destination. If the road is taking to the destination, it's not a problem. So therefore, here Prabhupada in the morning, in the DT room, we were playing a tape of Srila Prabhupada and he was talking about Varnashram only. He said, anything which helps us to remember Krishna, we have no hesitation to accept it. And he gave the example of battlefield of Kurukshetra. He said, for devotees, what we have to do with battle and war? There is no connection with devotional service. The battle has no connection. But because Krishna is there, and Krishna's devotee is there, and their war is also connected to devotional service because Arjuna is involved, therefore we have no hesitation to hear about war and battlefield. The principle is utility. If people can use all kinds of material things which is made by the modern people, it's sometime when we lack understanding, we say Yukta Vairagya. You can use everything in Krishna's service. Prabhupada writes in the teachings of Lord Chaitanya, even missiles can be used in Krishna's service. How can you use missiles? You can use missiles. Arjuna is using all kinds of missiles. If a modern man, when he creates missile, that can also be used by a devotee if this sound system is not prepared for devotional service. It is prepared for something else. But devotees have the ability to use in Krishna's service. And Varnashram system is created by Krishna. Krishna says, you know, that I created this Varnashram system. So how can Varnashram system take us away from Krishna? There has to be some system to function in this world. If there is no system to function, our practice of devotional service, Shravanam, Kirtanam, cannot be practiced unless there is a platform. Not everybody is on that level. Hanumanji could cross over the ocean. All other monkeys could not do it. They needed some way to cross over. Not everybody is Hanumanji. Even Angad, he could not do it. Even Jambavan, he could not do it. And therefore Sita asked, what is the chance for all the monkeys to come here? I don't see any possibility for them to come. So not everybody could jump. Everybody jumping across the ocean is not feasible and not practical. So they had to make some way to go there. Therefore, pure devotional service without platform becomes impractical, cannot be practiced. We see Rupa Goswami explains in Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu also. When does the Sharanagati come? Sharanagati only comes when there is a shelter. If there is no shelter, one cannot surrender. And even if one tries to surrender, one cannot stay there for long. It becomes very artificial. In the Chaitanya Charitamrita, Mahaprabhu was discussing with Ramananda Roy. And he talked about Ramananda Roy discussing, and he said, you know, how one should please Lord Vishnu by practicing Varnashram. Lord Chaitanya said, this is into external, go ahead. But he was a sannyasi himself. So philosophically, Varnashram is not the conclusion. We have to go ahead. Beyond Varnashram, one has to go and try to understand the concept of performing devotional service for Krishna, the only one purpose of loving Him. You can't stop at Varnashram. But doesn't mean that Varnashram has no utility. It has no final utility, but to achieve that final goal, you have to have a platform. Some civilization, some culture, some functioning society has to be there through which one can practice devotional service. Therefore, Varnashram is very close through which we can achieve Krishna consciousness. If the ashram, if the Brahmacharya ashram is not there, if the Grahastha ashram is not there, if the Vanaprastha ashram is not there, if the Sannyasa ashram is not there, then which ashram? If these ashram one cannot achieve Krishna consciousness, then what other ashram one can achieve? Not possible. That means there is no platform. I like this story from the Mahabharata when Arjuna fought that Gandharva, Chitrarath, and he defeated him. And their argument also was so technical. When Arjuna came, he was bathing, and this Chitrarath came and he said, this is my time to bathe. Evening is not your time. He quoted Shastra. In those times, you know, even the warriors would quote Shastra. He said, it is my time to bathe now. Human being's time is up. Arjuna said, what are you talking? He said, Ganga, you can go anytime. 24 hours available. So eventually there was a fight between this Gandharva and Arjuna defeated him. And then he took the title Gaddagdharath because Arjuna burnt his chariot. Then Arjuna asked him, why did you fight me? What was the purpose of fighting with me? And then that Gandharva said, you know, this was an external reason, but the real reason is that you have finished your Brahmacharya life and you are not entered into Grahastha life. So there is no platform for you. And secondly, you don't have a guide. You don't have a guide and you don't have the ashram. Therefore, the difficulties will come. And not only the difficulties will come, you will not have the ability to handle the difficulty. It is not that being in proper ashram, the difficulties don't come. Yesterday, Shyamananda was giving an example, very beautiful example. He said, when you are driving, if you know about the roads, if the driver knows about the roads, that this road is not functioning properly, and even though he has driven in a nice road, because he is anticipating, expecting this road is not good, he prepares his consciousness. He adjusts himself. Now I was driving 120 kilometers per hour, I have to drive now 5 kilometers per hour. He has adjusted. But someone who is not prepared, you know, someone who is driving in Europe and America, he comes to drive in Bengal or some villages in Maharashtra. You know, of course, they know more than what the roads are. When he comes, and if he doesn't know, and if he tries to drive on Indian roads, you know, every time they have a heart attack. Why? Because you are not expected. So therefore, here, he said, you have to have. Immediately after that, they accepted Dauma as their teacher and they accepted Draupadi in their marriage. Difficulties increased, no doubt. But they had the mindset to handle the difficulty. Krishna doesn't say that the difficulty is not come, but you become equipped to deal with the situation. And Varnashram is that situation through which you can deal the external situation so that you can continue to practice your Krishna consciousness without any difficulty. It is not competitive, it is complementary. Like we read, you know, when people, modern person, he tries to understand Varnashram from his own perspective, his own understanding, he sees the Brahmanas dominated The Shudras were exploited. The Kshatriyas were dominating. Vaishyas were exploited. So the whole concept of Varnashram is that if there is a division, that causes exploitation. If there is a leader, he will exploit the subordinate. If there is a king, he will exploit the subjects. If there is a minister, he will exploit the subjects. So therefore make democracy. Anybody can become the king. So based upon our experience, if we make decisions, like somebody was saying, how can democracy function when only 24% of country's vote is given to one party? The ruling party, you know, somebody gave that statistics, got only 28% of the vote. 72% people did not vote them. 72% people did not vote them, but still they are ruling. So how can democracy function? And of those 28% who voted for them, most of them, they don't know what politics is. The time when they vote, they're all drunk. They're extremely drunk. And they're brainwashed, you know, put here, put here, put here. They're drunk, they're intoxicated, they're not educated. They are the one who create a system which is corrupt. Right. So, but here, and try to make classless society. Prabhupada said classless society means animalistic. Even in the animals, there is a society. Amongst the birds, the crow is chandala. Right? Prabhupada says that. Amongst the bird, the crow is chandala. Hamsa, you know, is the best of the world. Therefore, why? Because Hamsa knows what to extract and what not to. Hamsa has the ability. It's amazing how it does. If you give milk to Hamsa, especially the present milk, which is mostly water and less milk, but Hamsa can extract milk and leave the water like that. And Prabhupada says that is a devotee of the Lord while living in the material world, there is some essence. He extracts the essence in the material world and leaves the matter, and therefore is called as Paramahamsa. But the crow, what does the crow do? Crow goes to the garbage only. So even amongst the birds, there is distinction. Even amongst the rice, basmati rice is basmati rice. Any rice cannot be basmati rice. And all rice don't give the same flavors, same taste. We have our expert cooks here sitting. They don't, you know, how much, it is not about only cooking. Usually when devotees, they see cookbook first time and they cook, but doesn't come the same. Why? Because the preparation begins from the ability to understand which rice is good, which grain is good, which vegetable is good. There is a restaurant in Delhi, they cook Punjabi food. The water comes from Amritsar, because he knows there is a difference between Amritsar water and Delhi water. He does not cook his, I don't know what item, special item. Or Raghunath Prabhu was saying that the water has to come from Amritsar only. Otherwise, not every water functions. So if there is a distinction between the water, there is class among the water also. What to speak of human beings? And to make classless is so artificial. But the whole purpose of Brahmana, Kshatriya, Vaishya, Shudra is not to create conflict amongst each other, which has been created now by the so-called modern intellectuals. You know how Brahmanas, you know, they give wrong stories, unfortunately. Yes, you know, the Brahmanas misbehaved, no doubt. But many Brahmanas were also responsible for better revolutions. They created better systems. So you can't only quote one side of the story and throw the baby out of the bathwater also, along with the baby. So when Varnashram system is given up and there is no system, the society becomes dysfunctional. I was talking to Braj Bihari Prabhu, Prabhupada explains in the purport, previous purports, the cows and the bulls and the horses, the elephants. If you study carefully, in Vedic civilization, even animals were decorated with cloth. It looks so beautiful. Animals don't need clothes. But in festivals, like I used to see in our small town, during a special festival, the cows would be decorated, their horns would be colored, and they would place some kind of decoration, a nice cloth, you know, they would cut the cloth according to their, what do you call that, horn, and then place it. It would look beautiful. Elephants also. Sometime the monkey, they would bring the monkey, they would try to put cloth to monkeys also. So that is the, you know, the Vedic civilization where you cover yourself. And what is modern civilization? Even human beings take out of their cloth. As Prabhupada explains, topless and bottomless. I was yesterday in Sion, in a Muralidharpur's place. So many colleges are there. And very, how Indians blindly imitate. It is so artificial that you try to do something which is not natural and consider that to be beautiful, that to be civilization. Condemning Vedic system, one devotee called from his college. Nowadays, we don't know, fortunately or unfortunately, people are discussing Dharma, Artha, Kam, Moksha. Our Baldev Prabhu, our Rohinandan Prabhu's son, showed me his textbook. About 10 pages, it talks about Dharma, Artha, Kam, Moksha. He had to write exams based on those concepts. Somewhat it was okay, but again, Dharma, Artha, Kam, Moksha is there, but Vishnu is not there. Varnashram is there, but Vishnu is not there. So most of Varnashram, whatever we find outside, you know that Vishnu will not be there. The superficial structure is there without the substance. And then one lady had a discussion in her college about Mahabharata. Now she's a teacher. She's supposed to teach the Shastras properly. So in her discussion about Mahabharata, she was talking how Pandavas were stupid. They're useless people. In the entire class, they were discussing how Karna was the best. She gave her commentary on that. And this devotee called, Prabhuji, how do I handle it? I want to discuss with her. She is telling me to read this one book. And that book is full of blasphemy of the devotees and Krishna and glorification of someone who is a big villain. So in this way, whatever people have, you know, based upon the modern concept, very individualistic lifestyle. Varanashram is a very collective lifestyle. If a Brahmana is Brahmana and is happy being a Brahmana, is proud being Brahmana, and he keeps aloof from the society, what's his contribution? The life of Varanashram is that you dedicate your life for cause of others. If you don't dedicate your life for others' cause, if you live a selfish life, like in the Mahabharata, the story of the marriage of Nal and Damayanti, very interesting story. I was just going through that story, that when Nala fell in love with Damayanti and Damayanti fell in love with Nala, how they fell in love with each other? Not because they saw each other, because they heard each other's character. She heard the character of Nal, she had not seen him, and Nal heard the character of Damayanti, and because of that character they decided we have to come together. And then affection was developed, and the Swayamvara was kept, and before the Swayamvara, actually Nal met her. He said, why do you want to marry me? Because the demigods also had come, Indra, Agni and others, they had come. They also wanted to marry her. He told her, look, I am a human. And since I am human, I can only offer you limited facility and only for limited time. But if you marry the demigods, since they are demigods, they have got a greater facility. Demigods, we need their blessing. He says, for you to get married with me, you have to take the blessings of Agnida, and Agnida is also competing with me. Better you marry him. Better you marry him. So, the concept there, it is explained that if you marry based upon your personal advantages, it has to fail. Very interesting. If you do anything based upon your individualistic advantages, then you become very selfish. The concept is that she said, I don't want to marry because I'm looking for my advantage. Maybe yes, the demigods are superior to you in regards to resources, beauty, but I have fallen in love with you hearing your good qualities. You know, if anyone comes, I don't care, I will marry you only. Because marriage only takes place, it is not that you fall in love with somebody else and you marry somebody else. You only marry with someone who you fall in love with. And love means there is a continual dedication. It doesn't change. And therefore, so much of background was considered. Nowadays, people begin with a marriage only, if it doesn't work, I'll change it. As if it is a kerchief. So if that is the mentality, and how does that mentality come? That mentality comes because the theme, the central theme is missing. The central theme is no more sacrifice. The central theme is personal satisfaction. If the atmosphere is permeated about one's own self, naturally we will be calculative about everything. And our world becomes very small. Yesterday Shaman was mentioning that the problem is extreme degree of self-consciousness which creates conflict with others. How much we think about ourselves? Sanity is created because we are so self-absorbed that our society is seen through how does it affect me. But in the Vedic concept, the Varnashram concept, what to speak of pure devotional service, that you function for the sake of other party. You function for sake of other party. A Brahmana, he educates for what? You know, he is willing to dedicate his life to educate others. A Kshatriya is willing to dedicate his life for others. These four occupations, Brahmana, Kshatriya, Vaishya and Shudra, you know, there is no alternative for these four occupations. Any other occupation which actually destroys these four occupations is demonic. And we see, people don't want to be teachers. Even devotees, they don't like to be teacher. Who will deal with children? Again, because it is not based upon, do we need teachers? You know, I don't want to be teacher because it's not, it's headache. You don't find any male teachers. They want to go for some bigger job. People don't want to join army. But then eventually what the government has to do? In Singapore, we saw during the Vietnam War, the government had to force. In India, because huge population is there, still there is no problem. There will be no draft board. But in Singapore, one devotee was telling me, he's a lawyer. His son is 17 years old. He said, you know, Prabhuji, what? Here in Singapore, he said, girls get better education. I said, why? He said, when the girls are 17 years old and boys are 17 years old, the boys are forced to join the army for 2 years. Compulsory, because nobody wants to be army men. But the government needs it. It is not about whether I want to join or not. It is a need of the society. These four ashramas are there continuously. In fact, our Bhaktivedyapurna Maharaj explains, Varnashram exists in the spiritual world also, but for the sake of rasa exchange. You cannot avoid this for ashramas. He said, they have to go for army 2 years, and once they go to army for 2 years, you don't think from the educational point of view, only think from, you know, physical point of view. So the mentality to study is destroyed. When the boys come back, those who don't want to continue to be in army, when they come back, they lose their propensity to study also. So girls are more educated, boys are less educated, and because boys are less educated, you know, girls don't want to marry those who are not highly qualified. So therefore the society becomes very troublesome. Nobody wants to be a Kshatriya. And farmers, you know, it is not a question of farmers. There is a choice of not being a farmer. There is no such choice. If we continue to take that choice that I don't want to be a farmer, then the government has to force. One of our devotees in Pune, he works in agriculture department. He said, Prabhuji, we have so many schemes in government to facilitate, you know, the farmers to continue to remain farmer, but the farmer is thinking, no, it's no good. I want to take some other job. As Prabhupada explained, what do you eat in the factories? We can't eat nuts and bolts. We have to eat rice only. But usually, you know, I get my rice in mall. Why should I go in the farm and work? It is unavoidable. At certain stage of our life, if there is no grains, one has to, and the labor class has to be there. So how can you abolish Varnashram? You can abolish Varnashram philosophically, but on a practical level, it is unavoidable. The warriors has to be there, the teachers have to be there, the farmers have to be there, the Shudras have to be there. If they are not there, then we artificially try to do all-rounder. Sab log all-rounder ban jao. And when you become all-rounder, then you don't function mentally proper. Like recently in our Gopal's Garden School, we had invited this Muralidhar Prabhu's schoolmate. He's an Air Force officer, fighter pilot. I told Gaur Gopal Prabhu, it will come some or other in the class. So he was narrating, you know, what is the life in Air Force? We usually see, you know, there's so much of sense gratification, not beneficial for devotional service. But as I said, that there is a concept of sacrifice. These four professions, a teacher's profession, the warrior's profession, the farmer's profession, I was telling the school children, you see everybody going for strike. The bankers go for strike. The engineers go for strike. The municipal people always go for strike. But you never see the farmers going for strike because they can't afford. You can't say for next 1 month we are not going to grow anything. All over Maharashtra, all the farmers go for strike. It doesn't happen. They cannot afford to do it because unless they grow, they don't get to eat and others will not get to eat. The army people, they can't afford to say, no, we are going to strike. When the Kargil was going on, the army people did not say, increase our salary, till you increase our salary, we are not going to fight. That would not happen. And he was mentioning a very interesting point. Now, the life is very difficult, especially the Himalayan borders. He said, he's working in army, in Air Force last 25 years. He said, when you walk, after 10 steps, you have to stand and take another breath and go ahead. He said, very interesting, you know, which the concept, he may not be directly connected to Krishna, but the concept of sacrifice, the concept of Varnashram is there, and we can understand that. He said that in India, the army officers, the ratio of army officer getting killed in the battle is much higher than anywhere else. I said, why like that? He said, because our officers fight along with the soldiers. He said, ratio is 1,000 soldiers equivalent to one officer. He said, sometime when 1,000 soldiers die, 30 officers get killed. That's a very big ratio difference. He said, because they go frontline and fight. And he talked about one army officer who was killed. You know, just see the sacrifice. When the atmosphere is permeated with selflessness and sacrifice, it may be very selfish, you know, doing only for country. But the concept of sacrifice, I'm talking. Sometimes even amongst devotees, even though you talk about self-sacrifice, but sometimes there is fight about who will give class. I want to give class. I want to give class. Fortunately, it doesn't happen here. So, you know, he said, this one army officer was fighting on the hills of the Himalayas along with his battalion. And one of the soldiers was shot. The bullet came and shot him and he was lying in the field being exposed to the, you know, the enemy's army. And this officer jumped in and he grabbed him and he started pulling him out. He said, what are you doing, sir? He said, you go away from here. He said, if you expose yourself, you will be killed. And that army officer told him, he said, your life is as valuable as my life. And he said, look, I am not married yet. If I die, it doesn't matter. But if you die, you have family and children, you should be surviving. You should save yourself. And he pulled him inside the, you know, safe place. And right in the presence of this soldier whom he saved, he left his body. So and this Air Force officer, he was telling me, you know, in our Hindu concept, we believe in reincarnation. And he knows there is so much of corruption. This Air Force officer, very unique, that he doesn't drink, doesn't smoke, doesn't eat meat. He has a lot of understanding of Vedic concept. He was telling children, he said, you know what, if we don't fight on the battlefield, then how will you chant your Hare Krishna mantra? And he gave the example of Vishwamitra Muni and Lord Ram. He said, Lord Ram had to protect Vishwamitra Muni's sacrifice so that they can continue to perform their sacrifice. Now you can't beat that logic. And that is true also. Our temples are surviving because, you know, they are doing their duty. They may not be devotees and that's our responsibility to help them to add. These sacrificing tendencies are there. Dedication is there. And he said, it was quite common to see people getting killed. They are seeing hundreds of soldiers wounded, but others are willing to lay down their life. Because what is the atmosphere? the atmosphere is permeated with selflessness. Whatever, it may not be for Krishna, but there is some kind of selflessness. And this army officer made a very wonderful statement. You know, how much are we willing to do that? He said, you know what? He said, since we have the concept of reincarnation, he said, if I come next lifetime, if I come next lifetime, if I come 50 lifetime like this, in every lifetime, I want to be a fighter pilot only. I said, wow. Na dhanam, na janam, na sundari. He's talking about that concept of that how many of us we want to come back to this material world, you know, and say, okay, I want to be with these people and continue to render service. Sometimes I say, bahut ho gaya, you know, working under this devotee, working under that devotee, I just want to go back to Godhead. I said, you're teaching me a lesson that you have such a conviction and you fought the war. He has a family. And his brother died. He was a big police officer also. He died, you know, serving, you know, some department. But still, his conviction to continue to serve has not gone. So this kind of seva, this kind of profession, which is very much rooted in varnashram, have inherent sacrificing tendency. And when we avoid, oh, I don't want to do this. I don't want to be an agriculturist. I don't want to be a warrior. I don't want to be a teacher. I don't want to be a worker. I just want to be a guru. So then, what do? We don't contribute anything to the society. We live our own selfish life. And selfishness will not help others to practice devotional service. Only selflessness and keeping Krishna in the center will give that culture, and that culture will increase the prosperity. Because there's a class of people who were actually dedicating their life so that others could be happy. They had no happiness of themselves. There was no personal life. But they took responsibility for the society. Then, because of them, the society was very functioning very nicely. There was prosperity. The farmer's life is not a very easy life. Whether it was 5,000 years ago or now, the hard work is there. And because they're willing to do that hard work, taking care of cows, that hard work is there. Prabhupada repeatedly, the entire first part of this chapter, he talks about Vedic culture. And that is, what is that culture? That culture of sacrifice, that culture of dedication. Now we want to take any other occupation where there is less and less contributing to the society. And only living my own life. But we cannot live our own life. The material systems does not allow us. And we snap it out. Oh, I don't want to do it. Relationship. The child breaking the relationship with parents. Parents breaking relationship with children. The husband breaking relationship with wife. Wife breaking relationship with husband. It has become natural. Why? Because we don't live life for others. We live life for ourselves. So it is unfunctional, dysfunctional society. But here the Varnashram society, you know, gives us such a perspective that if you live for others, like Nityananda Prabhu gave spiritual mathematics, you share it with others because people love you in the spiritual realm, and at the end of the day, you get more than what you give. But that is not the calculation. The calculation is that I want to give more. In charity, you give not to receive, rather you give because in giving, you develop tendency to give more. You see, those who really give nicely, they want to give more. Another, this Air Force officer made another very nice concept. He said, you know, look, he said, when people are told, he was talking about the Islamic terrorist. He said, those who are told, if you die for jihad, then you go to Jannat and enjoy limitless happiness. He said, that is manipulation. Just like in our scripture, it is said, if you go to heaven, you know, if you fight and die, you go to heaven. I said, actually, this is created by people. Again, he has some philosophical misunderstanding. I said, it is not manipulated. It's a reality. But according to our concept, it is cheating. That, how long can you do it? And he explained, he said, those who do what they do without the temptation of going to Jannat, without going the temptation of hellish heavenly planet, he said, they are extremely mad people. Because their conviction is not based upon what they get. Their conviction is based upon their cause. He said, you can't change them. You can change the people, those who talk about going to heaven. Difficult to change them. But those who are doing for the sake of doing it, he said, you can't change them. He said, that is what is called as love of God. When somebody loves God for no other reason other than loving God, he said, you can't change their conviction. If anybody comes to God for any other reason, as Prabhupada writes in Gita purport, people come to God for many reasons. And once their desires are fulfilled, they don't come. But one who worships Krishna, one who renders devotional service to Krishna only for the sake of love, they are the mad people. In pervertedly, that is also there with them. They don't want heavens. They don't scare death. They don't have any other reason but that cause. He said, they are mad people. You can't change their conviction. So same thing with devotional service also. But that is very rare. So therefore, what does Varnashram system, what the Shastra does? Shastra gives some platform. You have a right platform so that you can function properly. Therefore, in Varnashram system, we see, just 200 years ago, we discussed this repeatedly, you know, the prosperity, cows, grains, education, where education is free, food is free, and, you know, place for growing is free, and some residential facility is free, then you naturally think about the higher prospects of life. Otherwise, it is not possible. So one historian was saying, one Indian historian, he said, to bring the, you know, when the Britishers came here, they knew how to change. They had a very great master plan. He said, some other break this fiber of Vedic civilization, of free education, free food, you know, the cow protection and agriculture. If you break that civilization, then suddenly there will be poverty. When the poverty comes, then nobody thinks about spirituality. And once you convert them like that, then it's easier to make them materialistic. But as long as they have that prosperity, grain is there, education free is there, then they can easily talk about spirituality. However much we say, at the end of the day, if two meals does not come, I can sit here and talk all deep philosophy because I know Gaurang Prabhu prepares prasad and his team prepares prasad, you know, somebody else works for us, we don't make money. For a sadhu sitting here and talking high philosophy is no big deal. Sometime we become impractical in regards to applying the principle of Krishna consciousness to people, those who are living outside. And that is violence. What is violence? That our teaching is not applicable to outsiders. It is applicable for me because they are working for me. At one time we stopped our regular prasad and started Ayurvedic prasad. Then nobody was discussing philosophy. Everybody was coming running to the prasadam, mahaprasad kidare. Tanga gaya khana khake. Paper after paper was going to our board. You know, we don't want this food. And what was that food? It was a healthy food. We know our level, where we stand. We need our food. We need our shelter. We need our clothes, which comes to us regularly. So when we have these three things, I sit here and I can talk the best of the philosophy from the Bhagavatam. Best of the philosophy from the Chaitanya Charitamrita. Therefore, somebody was saying that teachings and application, they have to work in a harmony. The philosophy and the application, if they are not in harmony, then again you create challenging situation for people. There has to be a harmony. If they are not in harmony, then my teaching becomes useless. And that is the challenge. And therefore Krishna is so kind that we rebelled against Krishna. And why did he rebel against Krishna? Because we want to enjoy separate from Krishna. So what does Krishna do? He gives enjoyment. He knows that our tendency is to enjoy. There is some pleasure in this world because Krishna has given. But along with that some pleasure, he is teaching us sacrifice, sacrifice. But if the platform of that family life, that friendly life, these festivals are not there, that simply sacrifice will not give an impetus to dedicate our life. So Krishna has so beautifully created these festivals. Like Nanda Maharaj, you know, celebrating his child's birth is full of festivity. Philosophically, what is birth? No, the birth is, the child is crying. We talk about it. What is this birth? It's all miserable only. Child had to come out of mother's womb with all the pain. He forgets Krishna. He falls in Maya. No, it's all, the child is crying and others are laughing. We talk, and that's a real philosophy. But still, who has created the festival behind this philosophy? Krishna only. Celebrate the child's birth and give that positivity. Marriage. One may say, one of our grihastha devotee would say, when the announcement would take place, he would say, ding dong bell, one more in the well. I would not say, when grihastha devotee would only say. But still, you know, one may say philosophically, oh, what is marriage life? It's only burdensome. But without the concept of marriage, most people cannot survive. People will go insane. Either way they go insane, you know. So with marriage there is a greater experience. But how that is celebrated in Vedic system? So just see how Krishna, whether it is marriage, whether it is childbirth, any function, any samskara is not dry and ritualistic. Behind that samskara there is pleasure, there is fun, there is entertainment. But it is all connected to the principle of giving, sacrifice. So therefore, once we understand this concept of Varnashram, Varnashram system is not to live a selfish life. A Varnashram system is to live selfless life. And specially dedicating our life. In fact, in conclusion, dedicating our life for Krishna. And as Prabhupada explains, in this system what Nanda Maharaj is doing, he is doing it indirectly. An indirect system is also required. So that eventually we approach Vishnu in a very nice way. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. We'll stop here. It's 9:15. Jai Srila Prabhupada ki. Grantara Srimad Bhagavatam ki.